Item number 11, Dear General Seasons and Special Permit Regulations, this again is a decision. Jerry Nelson, thank you.
Members of the commission, my name is Jerry Nelson. I'm the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the department. Coming to you with a request for adoption of the Deer General Seasons and the Deer Special Permits, WACs 232-28357 and 232-28359. You have the presentations in front of you. Everything that I'll be proposing and is in your notebooks, we're asking for adoption. And there will be a couple of floor changes at the very end, and so that will be part of the request for adoption package as well. So we'll just dive right in. Most of the stuff you already saw at the Moses Lake March briefing, so I'm not going to belabor too much of it, but I did promise to bring back some estimates rather than the raw counts on some of these numbers, so I will show you some of that. And so for this first slide, for the status of the white-tailed deer populations, no real changes proposed, fairly much status quo for the general season hunting seasons, and some minor adjustments up and down on the special permits. Specifically, talking about white-tailed deer in northeast Washington, that's been an interest for a lot of folks, and just wanted to touch on a few items there that I touched on before and have more refined information now than what we had at the March meeting. Just wanted to remind folks, so this would be our District 1 in Region 1, the northeast part of the state. Some of the history relating to these deer populations includes a fairly aggressive antlerless hunting opportunity being available to the public for a number of years, and then also coupled with that, a couple of back-to-back severe winters that had some influence on the population numbers. Our current objective for deer in that district, in that neck of the woods, is to continue to allow the white-tailed deer population to grow in GMUs 101 through 121 while still providing some good hunting opportunity. We have reduced the antlerless opportunity up there over the last few years, and you'll see a little more detail on that in a second. And then also parallel to that, at the same time, in 2011, the commission adopted a four-point minimum antler point restriction in two of those game management units, GMUs 117 and 121. One of the things I mentioned was the back-to-back winters. So this is a winter severity index that we use and have compiled since the early 80s in that part of the state. And I'd ask you to look at and sort of remember where they are. These two above normal winters in 2007-2008 and 2008-2009. This red line represents sort of the long-term average for winter severity, and so these are the well above average back-to-back winters. So kind of keep that in mind for a slide or two here. And so this, in those same GMUs 101 through 121, what is our administrative district one, this table sort of gives you an idea of some of the antlerless opportunity we were offering going back to 2005. As you can see, it was a fairly generous amount of time being allowed to hunters. We had a youth senior disabled hunt that was lasting 29 days. We had 56 days of archery opportunity, a standard early season for muzzleloader, and then some late time period in one of the GMUs. These are all antlerless hunting seasons that allowed an antlerless opportunity in those GMUs. You'll also notice that at the same time we had a fairly good number of antlerless special permits being offered in that part of the world as well. And not a lot of changes up to this point, and as you'll recall, In 2007, going into the 2007 fall, we had all of this general season opportunity that allowed antlerless harvest, and we were up to 2,400 special permits for antlerless at that time as well. And so coming off this fall of 2007, we hit the first bad winter of 2007-2008. And so going into the fall of 2008, we did respond somewhat to that first bad winter. If you recall the previous slide, we don't have a lot of occasions where we have two of them back-to-back. And so we just about cut the antlerless special permits in half, but there wasn't a lot of movement here on the general season opportunity. And so coming off of the 2008 fall, we had the next bad winter. And so going into 2009, you see where we really start to apply the brakes a little bit in terms of antlerless opportunity, and both on the special permit side and then as we get down into the last 4 years, even the general season opportunities pretty limited at this time. And we're proposing status quo on the general seasons for this last year of the three-year package. And excuse me, the only difference here is on the antlerless special permits. If you'll recall from the March meeting, we felt like there was a little room to start allowing some antlerless opportunity again. And based on the public testimony that we had in Moses Lake and based on the commission discussions that resulted from that, we're going to be proposing putting those additional 120 permits in the youth, senior, and disabled categories. Whoops, too far. So just wanted to give you a little more information on that district. These are the estimated 100 days for all of those GMUs in the district. I showed you before just the raw hunt counts, but these are the estimates that come out of our mandatory reporting system after all of the statistical magic has been taken care of. And you'll see this kind of a pattern throughout all of these. So these are the 100 days for all of those GMUs. This is the total deer harvest coming out of those same GMUs, and you'll see that same kind of pattern through here again and again. So hunter participation down a little bit, total deer harvest down a little bit. But an interesting piece of this is average success rates in those GMUs has been relatively stable. So what we have here are the estimated success rates for the GMUs that have the four-point antler restriction, GMUs 117, 121 in the yellow, and the other five GMUs that don't have the four-point antler restriction. And so as you can see in this graph, with bad winters, without bad winters, with antler point restrictions, without antler point restrictions, and with hunter participation going down, total harvest still going down, we still see a fairly stable success rate across the board. So that's kind of interesting. Same pattern here on the white-tailed deer buck harvest estimates for those two groupings of GMUs, the four-point antler-restricted GMUs and the GMUs that haven't any buck season. The one thing to note here is that prior to the 2011 antler point restriction, GMUs 117 and 121 really were the number one and number two producers, even in the state. And when the 2011 four-point antler restriction was implemented, we saw that harvest, buck harvest, drop back quite a bit. And so prior to that, there were times when those two GMUs were almost doubling the other four GMUs in this metric. Now they're sort of performing at the same rate. And the same pattern here as well. Lower numbers, lower harvest, lower participation. In the other GMUs where we don't have the four-point antler restrictions, not quite as a dramatic pattern there. Those are fairly fairly stable. We'd be hard-pressed to make too much of a trend out of any of those, so I'm not going to spend too much time on those. On the mule deer population status, also you were briefed in March on these. For the most part, seeing numbers that we're really happy with on our post-hunt flights, not recommending any major changes on mule deer seasons at the end of this three-year package. So those are, especially on the general seasons, those are pretty much status quo. And then on the black-tailed deer side of things, of course, black-tailed deer are the populations that give us the hardest time in terms of surveying, counting, assessing the populations because of where they live and how they live. All of the information that we do use to assess those populations, our best is harvest data, but we do also have some aerial surveys and some ground counts in those parts of the state where it's a little more amenable to those kind of survey techniques, and not recommending any major changes on those general seasons as well. And so for our deer season recommendations, as I said, we're recommending status quo for most of the seasons. There is some adjustment up and down on the special permit side of things, and that's mostly coming from the special permit allocation formula that is an improved commission-approved formula that we use. We use that typically only when we're offering quality hunts or buck hunts, and those hunts are being offered to all three weapon user groups, modern, archery, and muzzleloader. We've got some adjustments on antlerless special permits to address agricultural damage issues, and also in response to just population numbers. Those last two points oftentimes go hand in hand. Oftentimes when we feel like we've got population numbers that are getting up a little higher than we'd like to see them, we're also probably seeing agricultural damage issues as well. And so often, not always, but oftentimes those two points go hand in hand. And then, as I mentioned before, we had some initial antlerless special permit opportunity proposed at the March meeting in District 1 after the testimony that we heard from the public and also the commission discussion on that. We moved those opportunities over to the youth, senior, and disabled categories, so it's 120 permits evenly distributed across those GMUs and those user groups. It's a modest increase in opportunity, but it's a little something that we felt we could safely offer. Now, for the two floor changes that I mentioned to folks, if in the deer agenda section, if you could look at your page 9, both of these corrections are on page 9. And under the quality modern firearm category, we have two hunts, the Tianaway hunt and the LT Murray hunt. They have incorrect dates. The dates should be changed to November 11 to 19, and that'll allow us avoid an overlap between modern firearm season and a muzzleloader season. So that's a safety issue there that needs to be corrected. So November 11th to the 19th on both the Tianaway and the LT Murray hunt. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Schmidt.
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to think how I can sort through all the graphs and come up with my question. Jerry, back in 2000, and I think it was 11, commission took a bit of a risk in adopting the four-point proviso, and it was certainly controversial. Trying to read now 3 years of information in graph or page 10, the graph shows success ratio of around 26%. Then we also see where there's fewer hunters, better success, and that's climbing a bit. But I think the graph that I'd like to ask my question from is on page 13, It's the estimated deer harvest in GMU 117-121. Can we cite, we now have a trend.
I'm sorry, my numbers aren't matching up with your numbers. Is that the one?
Page 13.
I'm sorry, my slide numbers don't match your slide numbers, but that's okay. We can still find
which. That's the estimated deer harvest for 117-121.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is one that's either telling the story or not telling the story, and I'd like your take on what it says to us there.
Okay.
Is that a trend? We've had three moderate winters, so I don't know how that plays into it. 3 years of four-point restriction. We're seeing a higher success ratio. We're seeing hunters overall was down initially, starting to creep back up. Is this what we want to see?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on what sort of hunting opportunity we want to offer. In terms of having fewer people on the landscape and starting to see buck harvest come up and seeing success rates maintain themselves, that's probably, if you're a hunter who's still hunting those two GMUs, that's probably a fairly favorable hunting experience. Another possibility is if you want to offer more take, more harvest, more opportunity. Essentially, the way the antler point restriction is set up, we're asking hunters to pass on the 1 points, the 2 points, and the 3 points, and so that's potentially harvest, more harvest that would be going to the bag and going home with our hunters. So it really depends on what sort of hunting opportunity you'd like to provide. I think the reduction in all of the antlerless opportunity and the fact that we've had three below average in severity winters in a row, I think that's what's helping the overall population do better and do well. Does that get at your question?
Well, it's helpful, and this is a topic that the Wildlife Committee should talk about, because at some point in time, this commission should determine whether we want to stay on this track or not. We have 3 years behind us. You know, how many years do we need before either we deem that this is the right thing, is this ultra-quality hunt for folks, and this is what they want or not? And I think it's time we engage in that discussion. And then we can not do it today, but Jerry, thank you. What you offered was very helpful.
Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner Holtzmiller, you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This might be a look into your crystal ball. Are you in the Northeast, where we're having the bulk of our wolf population, are you starting to see any deer's decline, elk decline, or are they still pretty well holding their own?
At this point, the limited information that we're able to collect, and it's another one of those parts of the world where it's very difficult to survey deer and elk populations. Moose are a little more cooperative when it comes to surveying, but it's kind of difficult for us to, and we're trying very hard to come up with some new ways to do that, but if it's not easy, and if it were easy, folks would be doing it already. Right now, with the limited information that we have, our road counts, our annual August and September road counts, and then the trends that we're seeing in the harvest, I would say that we're probably not seeing much of an impact at this point. But I think it's probably fair to say that we're still a little early in the wolf recolonization point of things as well. I think every indication is that wolves are going to continue to do well, and so you know we'll have to keep watching that to see what's going to happen in the near future.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kenney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just
seeing if I get my numbers straight here. The when you have a chart like that, then you go back, and I think there was a chart that showed, you know, the number of hunters is going down, but the success rate is typically about the same, 25-26%. If you did that math, you'd say, well, wait, if there was 1,000 hunters and they got 25%, that'd be 250 deer. But if it was only 100 hunters and they got 25%, that's 25 deer. And I think, well, wait, what comes first?
Excellent point. So on this success rate slide, I was talking in generalities across 2008 to 2013. So just taking the last 2 years and comparing that to 2011, in those two groupings of GMUs, in that short-term trend, you are seeing an increase in success rate. And so that's probably, and that parallels the same pattern on the slight increase in harvest as well. But if you look at these success rates and harken back to 2008-2009, they're all sort of hovering right around 25% with a little bit of variability. And so the increases in harvest are happening, but they're not huge. They're slight. And so if we went back and did the math that you're talking about, I think it would still pencil out.
Okay.
I'm sure it would.
I think I was getting to a similar question that Jay or Commissioner Hostmiller was asking, then to get to a point where you could say, well, what are the effects of a predator such as wolves on a population, where you estimate a lot of your population via harvest data and other tools? It's part of the tricky part that you were talking about, because you almost need something more than that to be able to say this predator is not having or is having some effect on this population. When your hunter numbers are going down, your harvest is staying the same or maybe increasing. Yeah, how do you eventually make sense of it all?
Plus, you also saw a fairly dramatic change in hunting season opportunity as well over that time period. So that is incredibly difficult for us to puzzle out, and we do need better metrics. It's just that right now we're having a challenge coming up with a technique that will see through trees and see all of the landscape where we can get a better estimate of animals on the ground. And so you're absolutely right. It's very difficult with all of those moving parts, plus we're dealing with a population that's very difficult, or deer and elk population is very difficult to enumerate.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, Commissioner Schmidt, ready to make a motion?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I move to amend WAC 232-28-357 and 232-28-359 as proposed, and floor amendments on page 9 modifying the dates for Tiana Way and LT Murray areas.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second
that. The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Smith to amend WAC 232-28-357 and 232-28-359 as proposed and subject to floor amendment. Further discussion? Or none? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Motion carries.